It's the Amdram Shoutout on Brooklyn's Radio with Charlie Quatso.
Okay, so this evening I am joined by our Amdram regular, Mr. Amdram, as I'm calling him now, Steve Dorset, who knows that jingle very well. He was bopping his head very nicely there. We're also joined for the first time by Jonathan Howe, and they are from Perford Little Theatre. They're putting on a production of a classic 1960s BBC radio show, radio comedy, called Round the Horn. It's coming to Perford Village Hall on the 28th and 29th of August. So, Steve, great to see you as always. And Jonathan, lovely to meet you as well. How's it all been going then? For Round the Horn, have you been all having an amazing time?
Go on, you can take this.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and I think the biggest surprise, possibly for some of us who are a bit younger, who weren't around for the original show, is how well the material holds up.
Yeah, it still feels relevant today.
They've picked all the good stuff. There's some kind of pastiches of chat shows, kind of James Bond. I mean, there's all sorts of things you would recognise. It's
Oh, is there someone doing like a Sean Connery impression or something
it's
like
me,
that?
It's me, actually, isn't it? I'm Kenneth Horne, Spymaster. So, yes.
How's that? Has that been a good excuse to watch some old Bond films then?
I was a Bond fan when I was a kid, so I've seen all of the movies many times. Yeah.
Brilliant. Steve, how have you been? I feel like you've been avoiding me. You haven't been in for a few months.
No, you say that.
Yeah, explain, please.
You have had three other shows that I've been in earlier this year, and you've had them in on the Amdram
show. No, you're right, actually. No, there was one quite
recently.
I was in Bad
Girls, Return to the Forbidden Planet, and Legally Blonde, and you had people in from all of those.
Yes, no, you're quite right.
You didn't invite me, so I've obviously offended you.
You could have invited yourself, I suppose.
Have I got free reign to invite myself here whenever I want?
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure anymore now after that.
Oh, fair enough.
Anyway, how's your summer been? Has it been all right?
Yeah. I mean, we kind of take a break over summertime because obviously so many people go away. And it's kind of the end of the theatre season. August is usually pretty dead.
Yes, usually and then it's quiet.
Yeah, and then it all starts to pick up as we get towards the end of it and kids are going back to school. And so, yeah, no, it's lovely to be kicking the next season off with something quite so silly and quite so different.
Yeah, there's going to be loads of Amdram starting September, October, November. It's all that time. There's loads going on.
I do have
on.
A few shows lined up.
Oh, okay. So you may very well be in again. I'll get your chair ready. Does one of you want to just briefly tell us what this radio comedy was about for anyone listening that didn't know about it, didn't listen to it back in the day? And what can the audience expect from this adaptation you guys are doing?
So Round the Horn ran kind of for 3 years in the mid-60s. The famous name you would remember is really Kenneth Williams, who's stood the test of time. And it was a sketch show. So, I mean, you could think about the Fast Show, but, you know, all those years before.
Mm.
And we are putting it on, like I think a lot of people do these days, by making the stage into a fake radio theatre. And we are just playing the parts of the people who do the show, and we come on and we would do it much as they would do it, with reading through stuff and
And have you guys been kind of to prepare for this? You've been listening back to some old episodes to get an idea of the style, the type of comedy that they're doing?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm playing Kenneth Horne.
You are indeed. He's like the main anchor, isn't he?
Well, he was the guy the show was built around. He had a radio show in the late 50s, early 60s called Beyond Our Ken. And then when that kind of went by the wayside, the crew all got back together and made Round the Horn. But they went wilder, whereas Beyond Our Ken was a very traditional show. Round the Horn was wilder, had a lot of innuendo.
Mm.
They were getting gags out there that they were trying to slip past the censors. It was kind of a crazy, it was late 60s, and attitudes were changing, and Round the Horn kind of reflected that.
Yeah, but it feels like that's when things were starting to change in the 60s.
And
people
Kenneth
pushing
Horn
it
was
more.
Kind of the centrepiece of it. He was the straight man, essentially. All the chaos went on around. I mean, the name everybody remembers is Kenneth Williams. And I think we were having a drink the other night, and we described it as if Kenneth Horne was giving the father of the bride speech at a wedding, Kenneth Williams would be the drunk uncle in a corner throwing bread rolls at people and causing chaos around the place.
Yeah, bringing absolute carnage.
Exactly. So, and there is kind of that every time. I mean, Dan, who's playing Kenneth Williams, every time he opens his mouth, it's chaos. It's lots of I'm the star, everybody look at me, and he's generally just trying to derail the whole thing from start to finish.
A great excuse to just draw loads of attention on yourself then.
Exactly. I mean, he's loving it, actually.
Perfect.
So,
actually on that note, so Jonathan, you're playing Hugh Paddick, who then in turn played one half of this quite camp duo, Julian and Sandy. Hugh was Julian, wasn't he? If I'm correct.
Yes, that's true.
So how's that been then, transforming into that character? How's that been kind of bringing out
give
your
us a
inner
bit of
camp?
Julian. Give us a bit of Julian.
Oh, hello, I'm Julian and this is my friend Sandy.
Oh, very nice.
it's interesting that you hear the old recordings and you kind of go, okay, this is it. And then you try to do it and you think, I'm actually still not quite over the top enough. I've got to go further and further. And I think as Dan and I have been rehearsing, it's been getting more and more extreme and funnier every time.
Well, the lovely thing about Julian and Sandy was, for those who don't know, at the time the show was broadcast, homosexuality was still a crime. And this camp couple, Julian and Sandy, were using the language that a lot of gay people used at the time, Polari.
Yes, that was actually something I was going to ask
exactly,
about.
Exactly, and they were
Polari.
Slipping all these lines past the censors that nobody knew what they meant.
So I was going to ask actually, kind of like, how did they get away with, obviously, because as you said, it was still criminalised being gay back then.
Well,
but that Polari, was that people just didn't really know that language.
Have a
father
at your
gay.
Face, look at his jolly old eek, his lallies are trembling, and all that sort of stuff, which the censors had no idea what they were saying, but it was kind of a code.
And... Right, and nowadays, I mean, I hear that, I'm like, I get what that means. I get the double meaning there. But they, completely
stood
by
them. It was really progressive at the time. And Kenneth Williams was one of those guys as well that, obviously, I'd say homosexuality was still a crime. And he was very out about it. And he was one of the first kind of major celebrities that was openly gay. And so Round the Horn was very progressive in that way. And thankfully, Kenneth had a wicked, wicked sense of humour. So
it certainly sounds like it.
Which, we're trying to bring some of that out in the performance that we're doing.
Yeah. Now, this stage adaptation was originally written by Tim Astley. Does one of you happen to know kind of actually how you came across this version and why it was picked as your next production?
Well, Mike, our director, is a huge fan of Round the Horn, always has been. He's been in many, many Perford shows. And it was a pet project for him. It was something he always wanted
nice.
To do. The shows are very much of their time because they were written by Barry Took and Marty Feldman. And some of the sketches from the mid-60s don't translate to necessarily to a modern audience. So Tim Stanley went through the old scripts, found the stuff that did work, put it all together into a modern presentation. All of the dialogue is still Barry Took and Marty Feldman, but it's the stuff that's going to resonate more with a modern audience. And it's been specifically put together to be performed in front of a live audience on the stage in 2026.
I see.
As opposed to 1965. So.
Yeah. So how can you give us an example then of how they've maybe modernised one gag, but still keeping the spirit of the original?
No, the gags haven't been modernised. It's still the original language, but it's finding those bits that are still going to fly with a model audience. Because a lot of it involves references to current affairs, to world events that a modern audience may just not know and may not recognise.
I see.
So it's a case of finding the stuff that will still work. And Tim did a great job putting it together. And it's very, very, very funny. And what's lovely is we can look up some of those sketches and they're taken from multiple episodes and they're all up on YouTube. So actually seeing the originals banging out the same lines that we're doing back in the 60s is quite something.
And why do you think it was so popular? Was it this sort of, because of this avant-garde comedy really pushing the boundaries? Do you think that's what people appreciated about it? Or was it just kind of the general wackiness of it?
Well, it was the 60s. It was a time of change. It was the boomers were starting to get involved in entertainment and what people were listening to. And we hear about the revolutions of the late 60s all of the time. This was just another aspect of it. As I say, the show it came from, Beyond Our Ken, was very traditional and very staid. This is live at the BBC. And then they turned it into Round the Horn and just broke all the rules. And the fact that people still talk about it now, 60 years later, shows the effect that it had.
Absolutely. And so, Steve, as you mentioned...
I'm speaking sensibly. This doesn't happen on this
show. Yes, you're very...
I'm usually talking rubbish on here.
No, you're very good. You always, actually, your points always very much flow. So, sometimes in a more chaotic way, but you always make very good points, Steve.
Chaotic.
No, you take it. It's a compliment. You mentioned that you're playing Kenneth Horn, who was like kind of the straight man in this piece.
Who thought I'd have got the straight man?
I know. Who would have thought? So how much have you enjoyed it then, becoming this big radio star of the time?
It's tremendous fun. They would also, when they were doing the live show, they would have musical acts in the middle. So, and obviously I've done a lot of musicals, so I'm getting to play a few instruments, and we are doing a few numbers from that time in between the comedy. So, it's been very interesting to do all that and to have to wear many, many hats. So,
sure. And does it actually feel different for you when probably most of the time you're used to playing kind of fictional characters or like a fantasy character, but this time, obviously, it's a real person? Does that come at you with more pressure, you feel like, in a way, or not really?
Sort of. I mean, for the same company, last year we did Allo Allo.
Oh, yeah. Allo, yeah.
And I was Rene in that. And Rene is a character that a lot of people still have in their consciousness. So I had to do me playing Gordon Kay, playing Rene, so that you feel more of a responsibility to that one.
Because it's like two roles, basically, in a way.
Yeah, but I think with this one, Kenneth Horne is not so well known. I think it's tougher for Dan, who's playing Kenneth Williams, because Kenneth Williams is so recognisable to people.
Right.
He's got the real job on his shoulders to do a convincing.
More people are
going to
make
Williams.
The comparison.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Exactly. I mean, Hugh Paddock, I mean, do you feel you're doing a good Hugh?
There are lots of silly voices to do.
Yes.
But I don't feel I have to be Hugh doing those as long as I can bring his characters to life.
Yeah.
Yeah, and actually, how for you, Jonathan, how easy, just going back to this Polari, because it sounds such like an interesting concept, really. Was that easy for you to learn quite quickly?
No, I found a couple of times where I'd fall over a word and have to kind of put a line under it to go, no, be careful here, because I'm going to get this wrong.
And I suppose they were probably delivering it really quickly as well, yeah. The lines probably. So getting up to speed, was that a challenge?
Yeah, keeping the pace going. Ironically, when you say about looking at the scripts, the biggest thing we're going to have to make sure is when you get to the bottom of a page, you can't have everybody go quiet for 30 seconds while everybody turns over. So you're going to have to make sure you know the kind of the top of the next page. And
Know where to come in with those lines. And actually, I want to mention some other great characters in this piece, which all have double meanings, of course. This is going to be fun to read out, I must say. We've got Rambling Sid Rumpo, Jay Peasmold Grunt Futtock, and Dame Celia Mole Strangler. So
she performs with that aging juvenile Binky Huckaback. If I remember correctly, that she was Binky Huckaback. Yes.
Yes, Fiona, it will be.
I mean, it just sounds like these names, it's just they're just bringing chaos, basically.
Yeah, well, Grunt Futtock, I mean, he was a royal Futtock grunter to King Ethelred the Unready, who always liked his Futtocks gruntled.
Very good. You have to be Ofcom compliant here, which we are, of course, being. But very smoothly done there, Steve. No, it's amazing.
It's not even my character, that one. That one's...
No.
That's Dan, who, again... Who's,
are you the understudy?
I've got to be the sensible kind of head in the middle of all this, I say, with all the chaos going on around me.
Yeah, you just love learning all the parts,
well, there's
basically.
There's a lovely moment we have where Jonathan mentioned earlier Kenneth Horne's Spymaster, where we're doing the Bond pastiche, and I go to the costumer in MI6 to get into my disguise to go on my, and it's Julian and Sandy.
Right.
And it's the two of them camping it up, trying to find me a boner outfit. Oh. To, and it just gets sillier and sillier. So
yeah, it sounds brilliant.
The hard bit for me is not laughing, not giggling.
Yeah, it must be. Because
I'm corpsing constantly.
And I guess because sort of you've got the scripts in front of you, like it would be in a real radio comedy, you can see the gags coming up probably. So you're
it's how they say it. Yeah. I mean, and they turn both, I mean, Jonathan and Dan particularly, they play a lot of all the different male characters, so they have to do a dozen different accents throughout each episode. I just pretty much have to do the one. But I don't always know what they're going to come out with, and it catches me off guard sometimes. So
that's the best way sometimes, just have those genuine reactions,
well,
I suppose.
The two of them are camping it up, and I'm trying to be the straight man in the middle, and it's very silly.
Yeah, I love it. I love the sound of it. Now, and we've mentioned already that the stage is this mock-up of the old BBC Radio Theatre, and you both actually said to me off-air that neither of you have actually seen it yet. But, Jonathan, you know a tiny bit more, it sounds like. So how has the group managed to bring this to life?
That's usually true in most things. He has much more awareness of what's going on than I do.
That's very honest of you, Steve. Well done. So, Jonathan, do you know how they're bringing it to life? What's gone into the process of that?
As said, we're basically building a kind of a radio space that we will turn up, and we're going to stage it in terms of we're actors just turning up to this radio studio. We're going to do our thing. We've got a couple of old-fashioned microphones that are non-functional but look the part, with BBC logos on the front and all that. We're going to get some kind of furniture of the time to be able to sit at the back and look as though we're chatting, a table for Matt, who's going to be doing all the lovely sound effects, which I'm looking forward to a lot.
We have a big on-air light, aren't we?
We are going to have that
just
as well.
Like we've got here, our on-air light.
But slightly more knackered, I think, but yes.
More 60s looking, yes. I suppose, of the era. And are you ordering like the parts of the set? Have you got them from a company, or are people making them for you?
We have a bit of a genius chap called Mark Tyson, who's also actually in the show playing the continuity announcer, Douglas Smith. And we just leave it to him. He's been making stuff for PLT for years now. And yeah, just turn up and suddenly these weird and wonderful sets that he's put together appear.
It just appears magically.
We don't quite know how he does it, but they turn up.
Wow, that's lucky. You guys are lucky then to have that guy in there just making them in-house. Brilliant.
Mark now?
Oh, my word. Before I joined, and that's exactly. 25 years or so, yeah.
That's about there. That sounds amazing, guys. Okay, then I shall wrap it up with my usual question I always end it with. Why should listeners come and see your production of Round the Horn?
Go on, Jonathan.
Thank you, phone.
Yes, thank you, phone. Somebody
thank
was texting
that.
In there.
Is that a ticket sold, hopefully?
That'll be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Tell us why should people come and see it?
I think it's a bit of for those who remember it, they will love it. And those who don't know it, it's a nice way of dipping into some of the classic archives of the BBC comedy. I mean, it is one of the kind of the jewels in the crown that everybody keeps going on up until this day. And it is. It's funny. They've picked the best bits. You'll get all the jokes. And it's just a little bit filthy.
It's a little bit filthy, yes. Only a little bit. But you can see where, if there was no Round the Horn, there would be no Monty Python. There would be no Carry-Ons.
No.
There would be no goodies. A lot of this stuff came from the radio comedies of the 60s. And it's a bit of British comedy history, and it's come to the end of the summer. We're going to have a bar open. Come and have a few drinks and have a giggle.
Come and have a laugh, basically.
Exactly.
Perfect.
Mostly clean, wholesome fun.
Oh, yeah. Very, very, very clean from
mostly.
The sounds of it. Very,
as
very
long as
clean.
Your futtocks are gruntled.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, a PG rating, it sounds like to me. Right, guys, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you so much.
Can we say where to get the tickets
from? Yes. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you very much. If you go to our website, which is Purford Little Theatre, and that's Purford spelt P-Y-R Ford, purfordlittletheatre.org.uk/boxoffice.
Brilliant.
All
come
the tickets
and,
are there.
Yes, come and see them in
£10
action then.
£10 very
a ticket.
Cheap.
Yeah, that's a good rate, that. Very, very good. Okay, well, thank you so much, guys. This has been a treat, as always. So that is Steve Dorset and Jonathan Howell from Purford Little Theatre. Steve is playing Kenneth Horn, and Jonathan is playing Hugh Paddock in Purford Little Theatre's production of Round the Horn, which is coming to Purford Village Hall, 28th and the 29th of August. Get those tickets now then, folks. Guys, thank you so much. Great to see you again, Steve. Great to meet you, Jonathan. Break a leg. All the best with it. Take
Cheers,
care.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
If you're involved in a local theatre group and have a show, auditions or event you'd like featured on the Amdram Shoutout, then get in touch with Charlie. Email amdram@brooklandsradio.co.uk.